And in this one that I was reminded of as I looked into this subject, Peppermint Patty is walking along, and she's saying, "I don't know why I even think about him." And then she's sitting under a tree, and she says, "Chuck just doesn't seem to understand a girl's emotions. In fact, Chuck doesn't seem to understand girls at all." And then she's walking toward Chuck's house, Charlie Brown's house, and she says, "Chuck is hard to talk to because he doesn't understand life. He doesn't understand laughing or crying. He doesn't understand love and silly talk and touching hands and things like that. He plays a lot of baseball, but I doubt if he even understands baseball." And by this time, she's at his door, and she's knocking at his door, and he sticks his head out. And she has this exasperated look on her face as she says, "I don't think you understand anything, Chuck." And then she walks away. And Charlie Brown is left with this hopeless expression on his face, you know, and he says, "I don't even understand what it is I don't understand." Most of us sometimes feel that way in the subject of prayer. We don't understand really what prayer is all about. And sometimes we feel like we don't understand what it is we don't understand. And there's a great deal to understand about prayer, isn't there? There's a great deal of wanting to know God in a deep and real way. And but we really don't understand a lot of the aspects. And of course, in a sense, we never will, because prayer is an adventure. And it's a lifetime adventure, walking with God. Last time we talked about the fact that if we really want to have deep joy in our lives, deep joy is directly related with knowing God through His Word. In the book of John, it says, "These things, the Word, have I written unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." This is Christ speaking. And He said, your joy is going to be full as you really see me through the pages of this book, the Bible, His Word. But today, this, we want to consider another aspect of it. Because in John 16:24, God says through His Word, "Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full." There it is again. The fullness of joy comes in asking God and knowing God through answered prayer. Through really knowing Him in answering prayer. But do you really know Him that way? Do I really know Him that way? I was privileged to be brought up in a home where prayer was very real to my mom and dad. And so I was taught about praying, even as a little girl. And my mother told me that one day when I was about 3 years old, she saw me out wandering among the trees, and I was kind of looking up at the sky and mumbling. And then I'd go along a little bit, and I'd look up at the sky and mumble. And so when I got in, she said, "What were you doing out there, Carol?" And I says, "Oh, me and God, we was just a-talking together." And Mother said she thought that was a pretty good definition of prayer. Prayer has been described as a conversation between two people who love each other. And I like that. Conversation is both speaking and listening, isn't it? So often in prayer, we do one without the other. And so some of the things that God's been teaching me in the last few years is really just how to listen in prayer. And these are the adventures as we open up in prayer. But of course, as everything else, prayer has a beginning. God, our Heavenly Father, has asked us to ask Him about everything. He said, "Ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you." And over again, He says, "Ask. I want you to ask. Please ask." Why then do some of us not experience real answered prayer? Well, there can be a number of reasons. One of them can be the fact that God is not yet our Heavenly Father. We're asking a stranger virtually about things, and we're expecting a stranger to answer our prayers. Now, we are all God's children by creation. He created us all. But we are not all His children automatically, just because we're born into this world. And sometimes we get that confused. This story is told of a little boy who very lovingly carved out a little boat. And it took him hours to carve this beautiful little boat, and then he painted it bright blue. And he took his little boat, and he was sailing it on the river one day on a string when a gust of wind took it and broke the string, and away down the river it went, and he lost it, and he cried all the way home. Several days later, as he was passing a store, there in the window was his little blue boat. And so excitedly, he ran in to the storekeeper, and he says, "That's my little boat. I made it." And the storekeeper said, "Well, I'm sorry, son, but I purchased that from someone that brought it in, and if you want that little boat, it'll cost you a dollar." Well, the little boy went back, and he shook out his piggy bank, and it didn't have enough in, so he went to the neighbors, and he mowed some lawns, and he talked to his mother and worked for her until he counted out a dollar. And he went back to the store, and he laid out his dollar, and he got his little blue boat. And as he was going out of the store, he was heard to say, "Boy, now you're twice mine. First I made you, and then I bought you." We need to be children of God twice, really. God first created us, but as a race, we rebelled against Him. And as individuals, we rebel against Him. And He had to purchase us all over again. But He was willing to do that. The purchase price of our redemption, God said, was death. Was blood, really, the shed blood of someone. God said the wages of our sin is death. But, He said, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, what does that really mean? Well, what it means is that He, God, came down to this earth to pay that purchase price for us. He lived a complete, holy, perfect life. So that at the end of His life, He didn't have to die for His own redemption, His own sin, the things that He had rebelled against, because He never rebelled. And He was in a position to take our place, to buy back, as it were, us for God. He bought us with His own blood. But unlike that little boat, we have a choice as to whether we will say, "Yes, thank you, Lord, for doing that for me." Or whether we'd say, "Thank you, but I'm going to stay lost. I'm going to stay my own. I'll pay my own price." As we say yes to God, then we become twice bought, really, twice God's. He created us, and then He bought us with His own blood. And we become children of God. And as children, adopted children of God, we have very special privileges. And God has a very special responsibility toward us, and am I ever glad of that. You see, I may in kindness do something if my neighbor's child comes to me and says, "Hey, I'm hungry. Would you give me a sandwich?" In kindness of heart, I might give that child a sandwich. But I have no responsibility to that child. But my own child comes to me and says, "Mom, I'm hungry." I have a real responsibility toward that child, don't I? And as God's, He accepts a wonderful responsibility for us. And we're His. And He has all kinds of precious promises in this book that relate to us as God's adopted children. And that's where the adventure begins. And we start very simply. And sometimes women come to me and say, "But Carol, I don't know how to pray." And I say, "Oh, I'll say everything wrong. And it just doesn't come out right. And I just don't know how to pray." Well, don't let that stop you. You remember your child when he or she was 2 years old and just beginning to express himself? I remember when Lynn, our daughter, was just two, and she'd come, and she'd try so hard to get out the words, and they would come out, well, I thought they were adorable, you know, that nobody else could understand her except me. But I could understand her, and I knew what she wanted. In fact, there were some words that I really didn't even want to correct her in, because they were so cute, I wanted her to keep saying them that way. But I appreciated her efforts to communicate. And do you think I stood there and said, well, now, when you really learn how to communicate, I'll answer you? How foolish. I loved that stage. And I understood and would answer her request. And that's the way it is with God. And, of course, I didn't have the unique ability to see into Lynn's heart what she really wanted. But God has that unique ability of seeing into our hearts our needs. So don't worry about your words. Or if you don't know how to pray, you're talking to a God who loves you, who knows what you need before you even ask it, and understands when you can't express it the way you'd like to express it. So begin. And of course, we have a unique privilege also of asking God, as the disciples did of old to Christ, teach us to pray. Oh, often I prayed that, Lord, teach me to pray. I mean, teach me to really pray. Some of you have been at this business longer than I have, probably. I'm wondering how we're letting God stretch us in this area of praying. For instance, as I remember very vividly the day that God laid it upon my heart to really begin to pray for my husband more. More than I was. It hit me that I was doing an awful lot of things for him, spending an awful lot of time. At that time, we were ironing shirts. I'm ever glad we don't have to do that anymore. But ironing and cooking and doing all of these things. And yet, how much time was I really spending doing the thing that could count the most in my husband's life, praying for him? And so that week I thought, now what's the least amount of time that I can pray, isn't that awful, that would really count for anything for my husband? It would really be a ministry in his life. And so I thought, well, I should be able to give this week 10 minutes a day to praying for my husband. So I started by the clock. And I looked, and I prayed, and prayed, 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 prayed. I looked at my watch. 1 minute had gone by. So I started again, and I prayed, and prayed, 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 prayed. And I found myself praying for the work he was involved in, and, you know, this and that and the other thing, and not really him. And 2 minutes had gone by. So I had to say, Lord, teach me to pray. Teach me to pray for my husband. And it was beautiful what God did. As Jack began to ask me to pray things that he'd never asked me to pray for before, and God brought creative ideas into my heart to really pray, and pretty soon 10 minutes wasn't long enough. And I discovered, without ever telling Jack what I was doing, beautiful results in his life. Let me ask you something. What today are you praying for your husband? Are you praying, for instance, that you fall more in love with your husband every day? True love has no maximum. And that should be a prayer request that all of us have all of the time. But are you praying for that? Are you asking God for understanding for your husband? All of us need much understanding when it comes to those characters, don't we? They are different from us. Praise God, they are. But do you pray the God who made them for true understanding for your husband? Do you pray for wisdom to know them, really know them? Do you pray for creativity, for different ways to enjoy one another as the years go by? See, you see what I'm saying? Trying to kind of broaden our thinking a little bit as far as what is ahead of us in real prayer for those we love. Our children, do you pray to be an encourager to them? Do you pray for goals, that God would show you new goals for them, of how God can use you in their lives, realistically, beautifully? And how about yourself? How do you pray for yourself? I shared with you last time we were together how my sister has acute lymphatic leukemia, and how much God has taught us through this in just beautiful ways. And I find that because of this and other hard things that God has done, this year I could really title Trials, Tear, and Triumph, taking Dale Evans's title from a new book that she wrote. But that's what this year has been for me, Trials, Tears, and Triumph. And I find as I look down into the well of my own resources, that well is dry. It's gone completely dry. I don't have any emotional strength left. I don't have any physical strength left. But you know, I don't have to stay there, do I? Because God has said, look, my resources, there's a well that never ends. My grace is sufficient. Tap my well. And when I don't, I fall apart. And I cry and I get all weak inside. But as I say, okay, Lord, I'm going to tap your resources, there's an ever-abundant supply that God furnishes. And I get everything all in perspective. And I see this life as it relates to eternity. And it's beautiful. C.S. Lewis has said, God whispers in our pleasures, but shouts in our pain. And the lessons that God is shouting these days to me, I wouldn't trade for anything. And my sister, laying there, will say the same thing. But what am I praying for myself? Well, a lot of things are opening. Do you pray, for instance, for really the ability to turn those problems that every one of you have over to God, really? I may have read you this last time, but it bears repeating. Vonette Bright, on just casting problems on God. She says, at a time when I was particularly concerned about a situation, Dr. Henrietta Mears said, Vonette, you're so weighted down with all these problems, I want you to prayerfully identify each problem. Then visualize taking all of your problems and placing them in a big box, tying them tightly with a ribbon, and give them as a gift to God. Tie that box tight with a ribbon so you can't get those things out. Now, visually, hand the box to God and let loose. Then Miss Mears said sternly, now that you've given your cares to God, stop stealing his property. In the midst of heavy, heavy things, God says, cast all your cares upon me because I care for you. Christ says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest. Our husbands deserve a light-hearted wife, not a heavy-hearted wife. And you see, in the midst of heavy things, I so appreciate in prayer being able to just turn loose those things. I can't do anything about them anyway, can I? God's the only one that can do anything about them. But what I'm liable to do is turn them over to God and then take them back. And then I turn them over to God and then I take them back. Of course, you don't do that. So, what do I need? Well, I need to pray for the ability, to turn those over to God and let loose. And not steal his property. And then I need to pray for a thankful heart. A thankful heart. The story is told of Edison, who, at the height of his research, had a big fire in his laboratory. And the whole laboratory and everything burned down. And so he ran out with his son Charles, and as they were watching this fire that was burning all of his life work up, he turned to his son Charles and he says, "Quick, go wake up your mother. She's never seen a fire like this." And the next morning, as he and Charles were surveying the rubble, he says, "Isn't this something? All my mistakes are burned up, and I get to start all over again." Now, friends, that's a positive spirit, isn't it? God wants us to have a positive spirit, a thankful heart. But there's no way that I can have that apart from just saying, "God, I need you in my life. I need to see you answer prayer and in just a beautiful way." I call it living life on a miracle plane. Seeing God in the dailies, the little things of life as well as the big things of life. Because God wants to be involved in these things. He wants to be involved in our lives. But so often, we just ask God about the big things in our life, don't we? And I used to feel that somehow I had to save up my prayer requests for the big things in my life because I might run out of being able to bring my 1,000 requests or whatever it was to God if I talked about those little things to Him. And so, or I'd think, "Well, your request might be a lot bigger than my request. And so maybe God needed to spend his time answering your requests and not my little requests. And therefore, I better not ask him about my little requests." Now, I don't think I consciously had this idea, but unconsciously I did. So I didn't pray about little things. And then, of course, I began to see how big God is. How big he is. And the fact that God is so big, according to Psalm 139, that he is thinking a multitude of thoughts toward you individually every day. And if God thinking that multitude, David says that his thoughts toward us individually are more in number than the sand. Well, man alive, you think about that. And if his thoughts toward us are more in number than the sand of the sea, and you divide those into days of our lives, just think how many thoughts God is thinking toward you every single day. And so there's nothing too little as far as involving God. He wants to be involved in those dailies of our lives. So do you have a list of those things that you really are asking him about? I think in discussion groups we may get into just how to really have a prayer list that you date and that you, as you see God answer those things, then you write down the answer. Tremendous faith builder on this. Beautiful the way God lets us see the answers. And see, if we don't have these little things, and we think, as I've had some wives say, "Well, I can't pray about all those little things because I am praying about my husband who's not a Christian. And so I'm concentrating all my prayer on my husband, who's not a Christian." Well, then God is limited maybe by it. Well, he is limited to our own wills, isn't he? God will not violate our wills. He'll bring everything into play to try to change our wills, our stubborn wills. And we can pray very definitely for that unsaved husband that God will bring all these things so and hedge him about. So he will make a decision for God, but God will not violate a person's will. And so it may be a long time before that husband receives Christ. And that's all we're praying about. So what happens? We say, "Well, God's not answering." And we get very discouraged. Well, God is answering. But he's saying, "Wait. Wait until this man is ready." So what do we need to do? Well, we need to be praying about a lot of other things and seeing God daily answer prayer and really getting excited as we see God answer And then we'll know that he is answering, even when he says, wait on this request. You have to do that. Very important to do that. Let him get involved in the little things. So, how's your little thing prayer life? Your daily prayer life? How's your praise prayer life? God says in Philippians 4, never forget to praise the Lord. Never forget to be thankful. I say it again, rejoice. And he says, let everyone see that you are kind and considerate in all that you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs and don't forget to thank him when he answers. That's the living. Don't forget to thank him for it when he answers. So often we pray about little things through the day and forget to even say thank you. One thing that I've discovered that's very exciting to me is what I call my blessing list. And have you ever not only taken time to really thank the Lord when he answers for these things, but at the end of every day, just write everything down that God has specially answered for you. And keep track of it. Just keep track of it for a week and see what it does for you. One time I did this, and at the end of the week, I had 146 things that I'd asked God for daily, and then God had answered, and I wrote them down at the end of the day. Now, that was exciting. And at the end of that week, I just went through that list, and I just praised God. It was a wonderful time of blessing in my life. So you might just think about having a blessing list in your life. And then, as you start to pray about things, think about the aspect of what I call bonus prayers. To me, bonus prayers are those things that God delights to give you, but that you don't really need. Now, God has promised to supply our needs, hasn't he? Philippians 4 says that God will supply your needs. So he's promised to supply our needs, and sometimes that's all we pray about. But let me ask you a question. In your child's growing up, if all they ever involved you in was their needs, how much would you really have been involved in their life? What did you want to be involved in? Oh, all their delights, all their fun times, all the things, all their lives, huh? You wanted to be involved. God loves us so much. Oh, ladies, if we could just catch a glimpse of how much God loves us, it would blow our minds. And right now, as long as I've been a Christian, I still feel like I've just got a crack. I got my foot in the crack of the joys and delights that God wants me to have. And there's a whole storehouse there that he wants to give me. And I don't want to miss out. And I know you don't want to miss out either. And this is one of the things. Now, a bonus prayer for me is just saying, Lord, if it would delight your heart to delight my heart in this way, it'd sure be great. Nothing that I need, nothing that I'd ever demand, and nothing that I would dare say, you got to give me this, because I don't know whether it's good for me to have it. But you know, Father, and so if this would be good for me to have, and it would delight your heart, why, I'd be delighted. Ladies, I have seen God. In fact, I can only think of one thing that God hasn't answered on my bonus list. And I've had crazy things. And my husband's had even crazier, I think. Jack, one time, he put on his bonus list that he would really like to ride in a Rolls Royce. Now, if that isn't a crazy request I ever heard, but he wanted a ride in a Rolls Royce. Now, he didn't need a ride in a Rolls Royce. Rolls Royce, yeah. Nothing spiritual about riding in a Rolls Royce. He just thought it'd be neat to have a ride in a Rolls Royce. So he put that on his bonus prayer list for a little while, and then he forgot all about it. Well, he was in Hong Kong one time. And he stayed at a hotel there, Palace Hotel. And as he had reservations, of course, and they picked them up at the hotel, at the airport. And so the little man came in. Are you Mr. Mayhall? Yes. Just a minute, I'll go get the car. And so, of course, what does he drive up in but a Rolls Royce? Now, do you think that made Jack love the Lord more? Do you think it just made it say, Lord, thank you? Of course it did. That the Lord was interested in such a dumb, stupid little detail about delighting Jack's heart just to let him ride in a Rolls Royce. But God is interested in those things in our lives. Beautiful. I remember one time Lynn and Jack and I were on a trip and up in Banff and Jasper National Park. And Lynn and I have this thing about wild animals. We just love to see wild animals. And that's a neat place up there. And so Lynn and I, as we were driving for this 60 miles from Banff to Jasper National Park, we said, well, do you think the Lord would be interested in us seeing some wild animals? And we figured that maybe the Lord would be interested in that. And so we just stopped and prayed. Lord, if it please you, we'd just love to see some wild animals. Well, you wouldn't believe. You just wouldn't believe the wild animals we saw. It took us a whole day to get that 60 miles because we had to stop and see all these wild animals. Moose with her babies and even in the town of Jasper, here was this deer with her fawn walking right down Main Street. So then this doubting girl right here thinks, I wonder if everybody sees wild animals when they come to Jasper. So the next day we didn't pray. Didn't see one. Which confirmed me, just, Lord, thank you. Thank you that you care about such little details in my life. What does that do? Well, it brings my bubble of joy that we talked about last time. That blip of joy that's to be ours. And it just blipped all over the place that day. Because I saw God in the great God of the universe loving me enough to delight my heart and that of my daughters to just show us some wild animals. God delights to delight you, lady. Our Heavenly Father wants to be involved in these things in your life. Now, there are ventures in prayer that we keep going in. By the way, the one thing that he has said no to me on that, and I'm very grateful that he said no, was that I prayed for years for an organ. Now, we can't afford an organ. We've never been able to afford an organ. Hey! But God said no. And God, many times, now I know that God is such a great God. There are many times when we do not know the reason why. He says yes, he says wait, he says no. His ways are not our ways. And often we cannot demand to know why. When we get to heaven, we'll have our questions answered. And I got a list of them. And that's okay. I wouldn't really want to understand God. If I understood God, then I'd be greater or as great as he is, huh? I'm finite and he is infinite. And I cannot understand. But he is also a knowable God and he wants us to know him intimately. He wants to be known by us through his word and through prayer. And so very often he shows us why as we ask him. And I suppose I make up statistics, but I suppose 90%, that I just made up. In my case, God really has shown me why he's done things, or at least a glimmer of why in my life. And he showed me, in this case, why he said no. Because at one point when Jack was overseas for a 5-week trip, we, Lynn and I, won the use of an organ for those 5 weeks and lessons. And so we both got to take lessons and have the use of this organ. Well, we spent so much time playing around that later it dawned on me that the reason God was withholding an organ for me is because I just waste so much time. Time that I would never really use for Him. I may have never written a book. And so God said no, and I was glad. But as we grow in prayer, in adventures of prayer, another step might just be listening in prayer. 90% of the time, and I just made that one up too, but probably 95% even, of the way God speaks to us is through this book. We have got to stay in His Word, the Bible. And maybe even more than 95%, maybe 99%. As I read God's Word, He speaks to me directly, speaks to my heart, exciting things. As I almost jump up and down sometimes, just the delight of His Word. But also the Holy Spirit who indwells us as we receive Jesus Christ into our lives and become His adopted children. His Spirit indwells us. And as we listen to Him, He speaks to us deep into our hearts and lives. Remember that I said that a prayer is a conversation between two people who love each other? And the conversation comes, as I said, most of the time through Him speaking to us in His Word. But sometimes He just speaks deeply into my heart if I take the time to listen and not do all the talking. Now, a verse that I have claimed over and over and live out, as far as prayer is concerned, is Psalm 62, verse 8, which says, "Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us." And at times in my life when I have been discouraged, frustrated, fed up, mad, name it, and I've been it, that's what I do. I go to the Lord and I start with A and I tell Him. I pour out my heart as I would to my trusted friend. And I just tell Him all about it, to Z and past. And I tell Him how frustrated I am and I tell Him what I don't like. And I, you know, the Lord and I have quite a time. He knows it anyway. I don't know why we try to hide those things from Him, huh? But I pour out my heart. And I find as I really pour out my heart, and then I wait, that often He just speaks to deep within my heart to change my heart, to renew my thinking, to say, "Hey, Carol, you're all wrong in this. Your attitude is wrong. And this is what I want you to do." Remember one night, 20 years ago, we lived in a little cottage, a little log cabin just outside the gate. I lived there for a year. And we had two fellows living with us. There were three little tiny bedrooms in that place down there. And we had two fellows living in the front bedroom, and Lynn was in the background bedroom, and we were in the middle. And so it was a pretty crowded situation. And I was deeply burdened and very frustrated about a situation. It didn't seem like I had strength to go on. And I couldn't sleep, and I remember getting up about 2 o'clock in the morning. I didn't even dare turn on a light because I'd wake up somebody. It was so small. And I sat there in the living room, and I said, "Lord, I need You." And I did what I just described. I poured out my heart before the Lord. And I said, "Lord, I'm going to sit here. If it takes all night, I'm going to sit here until You tell me what to do." Now, often in a situation like that, what I do, I would be turning on a light and going to this book to really get God's instruction on something. But as I said, I couldn't even turn on a light in this situation. So I listened. And deep into my heart came a passage that I'd memorized years ago from the Word, which is often the case. And He said, "They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." From Isaiah. And I knew what God was telling me. And what he was telling me was, Carol, I'm not going to resolve this situation tomorrow. You're going to have to wait every day, but I'm going to renew your strength. And you're going to go through this by my strength. And this flood of peace filled my heart, and I went to bed, and I went to sleep. And this is exactly what happened. And this is how God can just speak to your heart as you listen to him. Now, for some of you who are new in Christ, you're beginning in prayer. This is still down the line for you a while, because you have to be very careful in this. Sometimes you can be talking to yourself. You know, you're so prejudiced, and you want this to happen, and so you can get confused as you do this. So for you, I'd say don't try this yet. Just look into the pages of God's Word, because you'll never go wrong as you do this. But for those of you who've been praying for a while, you may want to think about this, just listening to God in prayer. Now, God always answers. Always answers. It kind of bothers me sometimes when people say, well, God just hasn't answered that prayer. God always answers. But he has three answers. He says yes. He says no. Or he says wait a while. Or he says, of course, maybe I shouldn't say just three. He'll say yes, but I'm going to do it this way, and you've been praying this way. But this way is better. But that's a yes. It's just a different way than you were praying. I have been more grateful, friends, sometimes for his no answers than I have even for his yes answers. We can trust him as we really let him know our requests and as we see how much he loves us. Last December, Jack and I were praying about me going in April on a trip overseas with him. For years, he's had to travel overseas, and only very infrequently have I been able to accompany him. But in December, we looked forward to a trip that he was to take in April, and we thought, aha, this is the time. We'd saved our shekels, and I have the money, and I've got the time, and man alive, let's do it. But we didn't want to just plan without seeking the Lord on it. So we sought the Lord. And I didn't dream he'd say no, because I knew he delighted to delight my heart. And this would certainly delight my heart to get to go with my sweetheart. But God said no. And he said a very definite no. And I was upset with the Lord. And I thought, Lord, how come? You know, we've waited so long for this. Our daughter's finally married. I finally got no chickens in the nest anymore. And I can go. How come? But he said no. In April, Jack went. And I had planned some trips, speaking engagements and whatnot, back in the Midwest. And so I was to go back to see my mother and my sister and Lynn, our daughter, as well as have some speaking engagements and so on while he was gone. The Monday before I was to fly back to Chicago, I got a telephone call from my sister saying that my mother had had a stroke and was in critical condition. I had my ticket all bought. All I had to do was change my reservation. I flew back there. I was with my mother for the last 8 hours of her life. And Jack didn't get back except in time for her funeral. Now, do you think I praised God for that no answer? Oh, I did. It was very special to be with my mom at her home going. And I said, Lord, thank you. Thank you for saying no back there. In December. So let's give God that opportunity, huh? Now, sometimes he said no and he hasn't shown me why. Many times he has shown me why. And finally managed to get the operator and explained his predicament. She said to him, "Sir, if you will close the door, the light will go on." We have got to learn to pray alone. Praying in groups is wonderful, but our time alone with Heavenly Father, who loves us and will teach us to pray, is vitally important. But we've got to close that door so the light will go on. And as we do this, friends, God is going to teach us to pray. And as He teaches us to pray, we really will walk in joy through prayer. Let's pray, shall we? Lord, so often as we look into our own lives, we find our own resources empty, our own wells of strength dry. And Lord, we know in our heads that as we really put our roots down deep into the well of your resources, that your grace is sufficient, that your strength is made perfect in our weakness. Lord, we know this in our heads. Help us to realize it in our hearts. Help us to really know you. Teach us to pray. Teach us to pray for ourselves. Teach us to pray for our husbands and our children, our friends, the world, Lord. Expand our thinking that we might really see your beautiful face and be filled full with you as we experience you day by day through the miracle of prayer. Father, for those who are here who do not know you personally, who are not yet your children by adoption, I pray that they will see your face and really say yes to you today. And for those of us who have said yes to you, I pray that day by day we will keep saying yes in the 100 little things that you bring into our lives to teach us. Guide us now as we go to our discussion groups, that we might continue learning as we pray in Jesus' name.